I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It is Dom time. Good Monday, everyone. Welcome in. 855-839-1210, AT&T and Verizon Wireless. You just push #1210 and we'll get you in. Coming up, we'll tell you how we're going to finally settle this sitcom showdown. It's been a lot of fun. We'll do it occasionally. We got a great out question tomorrow that Dan came up with in a bar. But for right now, it's Honeymooners versus Mary Tyler Moore. I'll tell you this. You can vote on Twitter at DomShow1210, at DomShow1210, and we'll see how it goes. Dan has that up there, and be ready to go. All right. Now, we've talked about this before, but big story out there today. I don't think it's going to impact ultimately in this election cycle, but it is something really troubling. We have our version of it here locally, I think, that may turn or not turn Pennsylvania. Big story at Bloomberg. Booming Texas economy may help Democrats win in 2020. So the booming economy, by deregulation, by being friendly to business across the board, lower taxes, and being energy. Energy is the big part of this. Has led to a big migration to Texas. The problem is the workers who've moved to Texas in the energy and tech centers are much more liberal than Texas natives, slowly turning the deep red state into a richer purple. I think that's fair. Even Alan West would say Texas, of all places, is purple right now. And then on top of that, a growing Hispanic population, they may transform these factors, Texas, into going to become a battleground. It's probably a battleground during this cycle. And I don't know about Beto O'Rourke as a VP choice that would guarantee Texas or not. But you think of Texas, you think of conservative America, right? And this is the problem. You think of these suburban areas here in Philadelphia, right? Relatively well-run, stable, relatively, in many instances, good schools. And what's happening? You have people that see Philadelphia deficient in all the above, those that are smarter, more well-heeled at various parts, particularly the last 5 or 10 years. What do? They flee Philadelphia. And what do when they arrive in the suburbs? They bring the same value system, and it's more fertile ground because things are not as unstable. There's not as many issues. And gradually, they're turning. I mean, these congressional seats with the Dean of Decency. And then the other one with Mary Gay Scanlon are going to be very tough for Republicans to get them out of there at any point in the near future. Then you have Bucks County, where we know with Brian Fitzpatrick, he's decided to move much more away from any kind of conservative positions to middle of the road at best, right? Well, moderate. That's where the suburbs are. You're seeing this play out on the national level in Texas. So what's the antidote to it? These are critical spots. What's the antidote to you use conservative principles? Think about that, what Texas is based on. It's pretty obvious still, the leadership there, the governors and all that, and the it's even with their big cities, which are not, even with Austin there, it's about conservative Americana, grassroots. You think Texas, you think pro-gun, you're second to none, right? Texas. And what's the result? People move there. This has been happening for a while. In addition to the Hispanic population, the stuff at the border, they bring the same values with them. Because if Texas goes with the electoral votes of Texas, then a Republican is almost mathematically out. Mathematically, it's too big. I don't think you can win the presidency if Texas becomes any more. And, you know, there's a fear of the Trump people. I think they do deep down get it. They're going to go all out. And in the 2020 election cycle, I don't think Texas is going to go for the Democrat. But after Trump in the next cycle, you're looking at a real dogfight. That's where we are. But the broader thing is, here these are conservative principles. Not just we're talking about gun rights. We're talking about friendly to business, deregulation, low taxes. We're talking about energy, though, as a driving force. Fossil fuels, fracking, the whole thing. It's a big fracking, natural gas. Elizabeth Warren says in the first day in office, she's going to ban fracking. She's going to, by executive order, ban fracking. Bernie Sanders, the same thing. Not sure Biden has said that directly. How in the world, because I believe Elizabeth Warren is going to be the Democratic nominee, how in the world is Elizabeth Warren going to win Pennsylvania then? What is it that they believe in all this polling and stuff that you see out there? You mean to say across Pennsylvania, what would Pennsylvania look like without fracking as this huge major industry in vast parts of the state? We've done shows early on, Marcellus Shale, when this was going on. It's incredible the difference it's made to lift the economy. And then the byproduct of that nationally, what it's done to make us close to energy independent. How in the world would people in Pennsylvania then vote for someone who clearly is going to attack that early on, even more than fossil fuels? That appears to be what Democrats are saying. I don't see it, but anything is possible. There might be, is antagonism toward Trump more so than what that would be as far as collapsing the economy in large parts of Pennsylvania? Are they just counting on the PhD moms in the city of Philadelphia and Pittsburgh to pull them through? That there's enough voters there to blunt what will happen in the rest of the state? So phone lines are 855-839-1210. I mean, they haven't even been able to win to get that added tax on the natural gas industry. There's that much pushback when that comes up. They do have one tax, but it's not the other, just the added tax because they can. So how in the world would you ban fracking? How in the world would you ban natural gas and what's going on? That's what she says on the record, and I think she would do a whole lot more. Look at Texas, though. This is the problem. You have people that come into your suburban area. So I'm wondering, where you are in the suburbs, have you seen this in your town? People come from Philadelphia. Some of them, if it's Bucks County, are coming from New York. They're actually fleeing the madness here. They come to areas that are relatively calmer, more well-run. I made this point. I said, how come there's not a naked bike ride out there in the middle of Marion, Lower Marion, or Doylestown? Naked bike ride. Why is it a Philadelphia phenomenon? Why does it happen here? After we talked about the bike seats and the whole thing and making sure you took proper precautions, all that stuff. So why in the world would people want this type of stuff? Why do they want the things that are going on in Philadelphia? Because they're liberals. They're bringing the same virus and they're bringing it to the suburbs. And it seems to me a lot of Republican politicians cave into this stuff. They believe, well, you got to win these people over. Got to give in on this stuff. Now, I told you last week in this very studio, we had the current DA, Kat Copeland, the Republican, who's going against an opponent who's very much ripped from the Larry Krasner school of being a DA. Do people really want that in Delaware County? It's going to be a very telling race, just a DA's race. If they vote that in, wow. That tells me all that I need to know about the suburbs. And one of his campaign chairmen is a former law partner of Larry Krasner. Now, you know how the rest of the universe feels about Krasner, you would think, right? You think that would scare suburban sensibilities? Apparently not. We have another one. Tonight, Haverford Township has their first big meeting since the ouster of this volunteer firefighter unit over in Bon Air. And today, Dan's been following this on Twitter. The guy who originally outed him, an Antifa guy, they claim the reason is the guy is doing this white power salute, this white power hand gesture with a bunch of other Proud Boys. When they were given that, that started the ball rolling, and that was it. 37 firefighters now are out. People in Haverford might say, hey, I'd rather not have as many firefighters if a guy makes this type of hand gesture. Is that what Haverford Township is like? That's what the elected officials think. They moved on this quickly, and he was out. So how much of the suburbs changed? What do people do if they feel it's changed too much? Do they go to the exurbs? How far are you going to go? Are people really going to pick up and move? How far can you run away from this stuff? Isn't it better to confront it? And that's what the election of Trump was about on the national level. I don't see it happening enough here on the local level, though, where people are standing up and saying, nope, the suburbs run better than Philadelphia because they don't have Philadelphia's values or lack of values. So 855-839-1210, this Texas story is pretty stunning. And it makes the point, it's a great economy, great for business, people are flocking there. It's the tech industry, but mainly it's energy. And every Democrat running is attacking the very energy that has people flocking to Texas for jobs. And yet the feeling is you have people that are going to vote that way. They're woke, they're progressive, they're liberal. And the economy may not be for them the critical thing, even though this will be disastrous for a Texas if one of these, at least Warren or Bernie Sanders, get elected. All right, phone lines are 855-839-1210. You get a line, AT&T and Verizon Wireless. All that you have to do is simply push pound 1210. A lot more is coming out today, too, around President Trump and the Taliban. We have 9/11 coming up just 2 days from now, yet the president was inviting the Taliban to Camp David. I just don't think that's appropriate, no matter what the leverage is, what the debate is. How's that going on Twitter, Dan? That's the Twitter poll we put up. Was that okay for President Trump to invite the Taliban for this big meeting, secret meeting, to Camp David?
44% say yes, 56% say no.
Okay. Now, that poll is really good because, like anybody, President Trump needs to know when there's an error that's made. And we get it. Americans want out of Afghanistan, without a doubt. 18 long years, right? Okay, how do we get out of there and yet build upon the base of the sacrifice in lives and treasury that went into this whole Afghan war? It's a tough call. You got to deal with the Taliban, there's no doubt. But it's tricky. I don't see bringing the Taliban to Camp David. There's just no way that that should happen, particularly this close to 9/11. So you can vote at Dom Show 1210, but I'm asking you, does that seem appropriate, or is this a misstep? You got to deal with them in some way, but bringing them to Camp David, not the way to do it.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So this is on our watch here. I'm sure this is going on around the country. I told you about Texas. You set the perfect space following conservative principles. Is there any doubt what Texas did? Energy being one of the biggest. People flock there because the economy is very good. And what do? They bring the same voting patterns with them. That's what the issue is. In fact, over the weekend, we were treated to Don Lemon, Dan. Here's Don Lemon. Black voters should not prioritize their livelihood, the economy, over the president's racist behavior.
How do black voters in 2020 weigh these low employment numbers against the president's racist behavior, Joseph? Charlottesville, slamming Baltimore, rodent-infested, and, you know, go on and on.
Look, I think we have the numbers and then we have the message, right? The numbers, to your point, are encouraging. I think that, again, no one gives...
More of that. Yeah, keep going,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so we need more of that. But I think the message is something that does not resonate with black communities and brown communities simply because of the rhetoric that has come out of the White House. And so I think I said almost 2 years ago to the day on this program that if someone spits in your face and then hands you a napkin, you don't get to say thank you.
Can we talk about this? Because I often hear that not only on this show, not only from, but also in my personal life. Well, I don't understand. It's black unemployment is down and, you know, people are doing better. But as you say, if someone spits in your face and hands you a napkin, what is that supposed to, I don't understand that argument. Does that mean that the only part of your brain or the only part of our being that matters is money? Yeah. Rather than how someone treats you and what someone says about you?
All right, so we're back to this again. With what is Trump saying? And another thing Trump would point out, I think, is the criminal justice system. But he's not going to get credit for that. You know that. That's almost a losing cause. It's the right thing to do. And some of the things that he's done with that, that's not going to resonate. The media is just not going to let this up. It comes back to the phony Charlottesville thing. We've broken it down again and again and again and again. But because of the media laziness in some instances, well, that's going to stick, that he was commending the white supremacist when clearly there's ample tape, ample time. It grows tiresome. And this rap in the beginning, because he went after President Obama as a tactic on the birther issue, that is clear evidence of racism. You just can't do that. That's where it starts, and then it continues with anything in the world that Trump, and when Trump is being critical, is he being critical of Baltimore in a racial sense? Is he being critical of Baltimore as far as just another failed progressive problem? I mean, today there are headlines in Southern California, progressive cities, leprosy. I mean, there's a word, you know, remember Father Damien, Molokai? You're hearing leprosy resurface. Is that a racial comment or is that frightening? It's a medieval disease almost. How is that resurfacing? Well, by the conditions that you're seeing in the big cities like LA, San Francisco. Leprosy. Here it's hepatitis A. Are those racial comments? Are there comments about what a failure that we see playing out here? All Trump has to do is not turn it around with African-American voters. It's a percentage game. A few percentages here and there, particularly in swing states, will be enough. This is what the Democrat Party is built on. And that's why they are so afraid of these employment numbers. They are incredible. Even with the tariff situation, even with the trade war, they're still setting records for all kinds of subgroups. So phone lines are 855-839-1210, AT&T, and Verizon Wireless. You just push pound 1210. The dilemma, though, gone forward, because you're not going to have Trump only one more presidential campaign. How do you blunt stuff like Texas? You know, what is it that has to be done to push back on this? I don't think cowering and saying, hey, denying I'm a conservative is the way to go. Do you, if you're in the suburbs? Certainly if you're in Texas. Imagine Texas turning that much. This isn't liberal media saying this. This is Alan West talking about this. People flocking there because the economy is so good, particularly in the energy sector. And yet, could they vote for a president that says, I'm going to get rid of most of that on the first day? That's what Elizabeth Warren is saying she'll do, and I don't doubt it. That's what she'll try to do. Just imagine the changeover. Just imagine the economy the difficulties that will happen. Wow. Could that really win in a place like Pennsylvania? Could that really win here, given vast parts of the state? They haven't even been able to put that extra value at whatever they call it, tax on natural gas. Why? Because the rest of the state is so much behind it, they see what a driver it is of jobs, income, prosperity to parts of the state. Let's face it, there's not a lot going on there. All right, let me go to some callers here. 855-839-1210. Veronica is in Longport. Hey, Veronica, good morning.
Oh, good morning, Don. Tomorrow is the anniversary of 9/11, and I was listening to a program, probably Fox News.
Well, Wednesday, really.
Wednesday, so it's the 11th, I'm sorry. Yeah. So anyway, I was listening to Fox News, and I caught the end of I don't know if the gentleman was a congressperson or not. I think his name was Joey Jones.
Mm-hmm.
I recognize his face. So he made... He made a statement, and I think it made so much sense because, you know, there was a young serviceman killed in Afghanistan last week, and this has been going on and on, 1 week, 1 month. He suggested, which is a wonderful suggestion, he said every time a service person is killed in Afghanistan or wherever we're trying to correct the situation with Taliban, take somebody from Gitmo, one of the leaders that are there, basket weaving, macrameing, and kill one of them. I think that's a wonderful idea.
Well, I don't think it's a bad idea. I get you, Veronica, but that's not going to stop the Taliban from doing what they're doing. I'm not against it. I don't know why they've been allowed to be there forever. Like Khalid Sheikh Mohammed is still there taking up space at Gitmo. But nope, that's not going to be it. What stops the Taliban? I get it. One of the reasons this was one of the most surprising things in the 2016 election. How outside the box it was for a Republican that said, these things have been disasters, it's time to come home, I'm not going to involve you in a lot more wars like Iraq and Afghanistan. But particularly Afghanistan, 18 years now, and people still being picked off. What do we do? You got to deal with the Taliban. But bringing them to Camp David, I get it, the president wants to meet head-to-head with them to try to hammer something out that would be effective, and to his credit, when they still attacked Americans, it was clear, and another one was killed recently, he pulled out of what was supposed to be a meeting yesterday. But can you imagine, there's a limit, is there not? Tell me it's something where you got to get past the emotion. I can't. That's what I'm asking you on the cusp of 9/11. I can't get past imagining the Taliban coming to Camp David. These just outright backward, prehistoric time killers, particularly of Americans, that we would bring them to Camp David. I think that's a mistake. I get it. You know, you got to meet face to face. Where else are you going to meet? How are you going to do that? I don't know if you would meet at Gitmo. You can't have the President of the United States go to them. I get it. But maybe this is one where President Trump and deal-making and negotiating, maybe it's beneath him as president. Maybe that's what people are saying. Maybe that's what I'm feeling. You let the Secretary of State do your bidding. He engages in this with the Taliban. They don't get to rise to that level. They don't get to come here and sully the ground of Camp David. They don't. I mean, when you're dealing with the Russians and all, well, what about them? Yeah, I get that. I get it. You're dealing with a major back in the day, world power. You had to deal with, I get that, but the Taliban, are we reduced to this? But we want out. We want to keep that area secure as we can, but we don't want Americans to be killed. The nation is saying that clearly. Trump supporters are clearly behind that. Yet in our Twitter poll, how's it going right now, Dan, at Dom Show 1210, we just ask, should they have been invited to Camp David?
45% say yes, 55% say no.
All right, so it's close, and it's been close throughout the day, and a lot of people have voted. And these are Trump supporters voting. They're not antagonistic. They get the president's instincts in this, but the feeling is no. Not the Taliban, not here to Camp David. The world in some places is a no-win situation, but I just cannot see the Taliban coming here. Thank God, you know, nobody suggested the White House. It just cannot, because we are essentially saying, look, we got to move on from this. What's the best way to do that? It's silly to call it winning and losing because lives are involved, but it is not an easy situation. And it was the right thing to go into Afghanistan, was it not? Do we have any question around that? You could argue about Iraq all that you want, but Afghanistan, given the training base, the country for a terrorist. But you go into these places. David Petraeus, back in the day with me, said this is a much more difficult thing than Iraq was. He said it clearly well before all this happened. And look at the result. I don't know if $1 trillion plus has been spent, how many lives directly in Afghanistan. Is any of that worth it now? You don't compound it by having more Americans die. How do you disengage from these killers, though, while keeping some degree of security, some degree of saying it was worth it, that it did something? That's not an easy question. Yeah, well, Dan's saying, why not meet in Kuwait, Qatar, or whatever? Because the president can't go and meet these guys somewhere. They got to come to him. I mean, you can't lower the presidency to that degree with the Taliban.
Well, even in those countries, though, they're shunned out. They're American allies. I would think that would be...
Oh, right. To your point. Right.
Yeah, why bring them on our soil? I think it's more of an insult to Trump and us if we allow them on our soil just to come to Camp David, right?
I agree, yeah. It's, as I said, the president can't meet with them. It's got to be the Secretary of State. He does the bidding or somebody like that. I don't even know if they get the Secretary of State's level. They probably get some subsecretary that meets with them and then tells the Secretary of State and Trump. Trump should not bring them now to camp. Don't dignify them. And those countries, it would be the same thing. These are cretins. And you would think people on the left, you know, would get this, at least about the Taliban. Everybody wants to get out of Afghanistan. I think it's a very small number that say, oh, no, we got to stick it. Are you in the camp that still says, after all this, we have to stick it out? I'm talking in a major way. I don't see how you can. What are we asking Americans potentially to die for there in Afghanistan? This is a lot more complicated than any of the situations I think we've been in.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
All right. Good Monday, everyone. Welcome in. We've had two or three great days with our out question. You call in something, we give you a quick out question. People really took this seriously, though. Dom sitcom showdown. We started with 32. We've ended up now with the Honeymooners versus Mary Tyler Moore. You got people on Twitter attacking Ray Dittinger with Welcome Back, Cotter.
Yeah, I saw that. That was a very mean tweet.
It was a very mean tweet, but that's social media. So we have devised a system where we're going to have people voting up until the beginning of tomorrow's show for this finale. Do you like the Honeymooners versus Mary Tyler Moore? At Dom Show 1210, at Dom Show 1210, you can do that. And then we're going to give Neil Zorn as kind of like the, it's kind of like an electoral college effect here, sort of. What did you say? He's going to count for about 20 votes, given his status as somebody who lives this.
Yeah, so at the end of the Twitter poll, we'll take all the answers that people said on the poll.
Right.
And we'll add in Neil Zorin will have what is the equivalent of 20 Twitter users. So he may be able to sway it one way or another.
So if he goes for Mary Tyler Moore, which is way behind now, that could sway it unless people vote heavily for the Honeymooners.
Actually, right now, if he were to vote for Mary Tyler Moore's show, it would tie things up.
Ah.
Yep, right now it's 70-30. Okay. But we haven't revealed on the show until this point that it was up there. There's only 43 votes so far.
Okay.
So if you were to add 20 to that total, Mary Tyler Moore would be about 50-50 with Honeymooners.
Okay, so and he might do that. We don't know what he'll do. We'll tell you on Friday when we'll have the grand finale. Finale, when he comes on to do his TV segment. But we love to have you vote on this, and I'm thrilled how many people. This is like something where people are very, very fired up about. Both the field of 32, and then how could you say that? I mean, it's like a Rorschach test. It's like a psychological exam. I'm amazed. Hey, we went with the voters on this. Pat Toomey started off with I Dream of Jeannie. Knocking off Modern Family was knocked off. Roseanne was knocked off. He knocked off Roseanne, I
Happy
think.
Days. So he was a play-in game
Happy
before
Days.
We started.
Yeah, play-in game, and he said I Dream of Jeannie was better. I Dream of Jeannie beat Roseanne. It beat Modern Family. My God. Thank God The Office stopped it. Okay, so 855-839-1210, you get on board. The thing in front of us, though, is I get it. Trump senses that. He wants to make a deal to secure Afghanistan while also, let's face it, allowing the Taliban to be the player in that area. But you cannot bring them to Camp David or any place like that. You can't elevate them to that level. This shit has to be done by the Secretary of State or Undersecretary, working out whatever they're going to do. And it's very difficult. Can we trust the Taliban in any way? What leverage do we have if they backslide and what they're going to do? And you know that this is it's almost an impossible situation. I'm glad to see people saying, look, I support President Trump, but you know what? We're not going to have them here at Camp David. No. Now, to the point, Arafat was here at Camp David. Now I'll make the point on the other side, right? With the Israeli prime minister trying to get a deal that was with Clinton. And they met mostly at Camp David. This, though, is so direct. All right, terrorism, PLO, we get it. But this is so direct to us. The attack of 9/11. Just mere days away. Somebody should have been telling the president, all right, this isn't with the Taliban, you're negotiating skills, looking them in the eye and all that. That's not going to work with them. This isn't a deal you're doing with them. This is going to be based on their fear of what we may do if this goes south, whatever deal we put in there. And that's the best that we're going to get. I don't know of anybody that thinks this is going to end where America is going to say, well, this worked out okay for now. It's not. The Taliban are going to be in power. We're going to have a force there, and I'm not even sure the force's idea is going to be to keep out Al-Qaeda and ISIS. That's my understanding. Yet America wants to be out of this. There's just no doubt about that. But getting something that doesn't give due deference to the sacrifice. What have we gotten out of this in the end? I know it's difficult, isn't it? You could say, well, Dom, we did the best we could. And that's a great answer. And it was well-intentioned. More so than Iraq. This was direct, right? We know that. What did we come away with here, though? You can kid yourself and say, well, we still got security, ISIS, Al-Qaeda not going to be coming back in there. I don't know about that. They can try all they want. Let's go to Don in Medford. Don, you're in on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Don, welcome in.
Yeah. Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Good. Yeah, I think that if they should have a meeting, it should be at the number 2-star Motel 6 in New City, Baltimore. This is good.
You know, well put. So it rankles you too, meeting at Camp David, right?
Yeah, yeah. And you know, just one thing, you know, or they could have it at Obama's place. It's nice, it's close, and, you know, it's nice and secure, you know? But one other thing about why we're fighting over there in the first place.
Okay.
I always thought that George Bush took it to Iran because nobody wins in Afghanistan. So he went ahead and moved everything over there. He said, how many times have you heard, we're bringing the fight to them?
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
And just get out of Afghanistan altogether.
Well, that's true. But is it anything we did by doing that, Don, or is it a complete fiasco? We didn't do anything.
What?
But
we had to go into
Afghanistan. They attacked us, essentially, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, we didn't do anything by going anywhere. But, you know, they're still going to be coming around after us. And, you know, I don't think we'll ever win that fight.
All right. I got you. And I think a lot of Americans, and Trump broke through with that. There is no doubt about it. 855-839-1210. So when we're at an event like I was yesterday, the Mannion event, the run, the Heroes Run, just think of the sacrifice, the Mannion family, for example, the sacrifice of all this. This has to be done right. But they don't deserve coming to the White House. And you can be a Trump supporter and say that. And I'm heartening in our Twitter poll, a lot of people are replying, yeah, I'm a Trump supporter. But you know what? No, can't do that. You have to have other people negotiate. This isn't like where the negotiating skills and looking them in the eye with the president and all that. They don't deserve that. That's not what it's about, I don't think. And Camp David certainly is out. As I said, Arafat came to Camp David. That was with the Israelis, though. This is the launch from the country used as a terrorist base that attacked us just mere days from now. You just can't go down. But about 45% of people saying, oh, yes, you can. If you're one of them, I'd love to know why. Why you think that's appropriate. And even I concede. These are not easy things. This is not. Just like Trump taking on China and the tariff thing. That's not easy. It is damaging the economy a bit. It's the right thing to do. That one is the right thing to do, though. It's a long time that presidents have not done that. Trump is finally doing it. He is correct.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Dom Giordano's show, welcome in. Of course, on Wednesday, we'll blend in because it's sad. Until it gets to the 20th, I guess, there will not be a huge remembrance of 9/11. Yet yesterday, say the Mannion run and all those runs that are going on, well, that's where a lot of this started. And the road looks like it's ending, sort of, in Afghanistan. That's a good thing. But how do you do that? I mean, there are some people that would not get out of Afghanistan. And I think that time is long past. I think the American people and these deaths, when we hear them from Afghanistan, are just impossible to take. So the president's instinct is right on that. But Camp David with the Taliban, no. That just doesn't rise to that level. They don't get that. Think about who we're dealing with here. There's something off with that. Let's go to Jack in Cherry Hill. And Jack, you're on Talk Radio 1210. Hi, Jack.
Hey, Dom. So number one, Camp David with the Taliban did not happen yet. So this may all be a negotiating tactic and may not be worth wringing our hands over.
Well, I'm not wringing my hands. I'm just saying clear as a proposition. I get that. I'm just saying, though, that that's what we're told, and the president revealed that was going to happen. And then when they killed another American, it didn't happen. I don't think the president is the one negotiating with them. I think they get the Secretary of State at best.
Well, look at this, though. It was dangled out. He might have very well known what was going to happen, and now he can say, look, you've already lost something. How many more things do you want to keep losing? But I'll go the other direction, Dom. Even if he did want to do that, I think, number one, Trump likes to negotiate on the home turf. He feels there's advantage in that. So he wants to be on the ultimate home turf. I think we've all heard that you want to keep your friends close and your enemies closer.
I think that's an overrated sentiment. I may talk about that tomorrow. It's a fun line from The Godfather, but I think that's overrated. That doesn't mean we take our enemies and we elevate them by bringing them here to Camp David.
But I don't think he's elevating them, and here's why. I think this. Trump is the kind of person where he will give you the ultimate shot, the shot of your entire life. You will get that shot. And at that point, if you mess up with that shot, he really has you where he's got you, because he can legitimately say at that point, I gave the ultimate shot to them. I bought them more than they've ever been bought before.
But wait a minute, Jack. Now, let's come back to reality. He wants to get out of Afghanistan, so do the American people. He doesn't have that type of leverage. We're not going to stay in Afghanistan through the election and all. Thank you. That's not, you know, and saying stuff from The Godfather, in this case with the Taliban, they have leverage now. We still have some degree of leverage of who we're going to leave in the country. But it's clear, we don't want this. We don't want this sacrifice. And legitimately, how in the world could we ask people to continue this sacrifice? Let's go to John in Cherry Hill on Talk Radio 1210. Hi, John.
Hey, Dom. I served 4 years in the Marines. I had friends who didn't come home from Afghanistan. And after talking with people and just, I never was deployed, but I talked to enough people deployed. The only way to win would be literally just killing everybody who has any association with the Taliban.
I think that's exactly right. That's what it would take.
We are not willing to do that.
Right.
We have to negotiate, but it is affront to me and everybody and every friend that I served with who didn't come home to have this at Camp David. They're murderers. We should absolutely negotiate with them, but they should not be put on that same level. It is such an affront to me. I had a friend who was a Cobra pilot in 2004 who crashed, didn't come home, and it tore his family apart. And it is literally like pissing on his grave, having them there.
And John, first of all, we give to you and the service of people, particularly in this situation, who the supreme sacrifice, but second of all, I think your vote counts a lot more than a lot of us. That's exactly right. And I think the president should have advisors telling him they don't rise to this level. Arafat was at Camp David, but that was with the Israelis. This was a direct attack on innocent Americans. And these are people that are back in the Stone Ages as far as their mentality toward everything. You're right.
Absolutely.
We have to do it, though, because we can't ask Americans. The choices, as I see it, you're exactly right, are two things. Either continue this and lose Americans, which we won't do and shouldn't do, or we'd have to devastate them to a level that I don't know that we should do or could do and feel psychologically good about that.
I don't think we have the stomach to do it, and I don't think it's morally right to do it.
Right.
And the country is nowhere near what it was. Like, so if before the Soviets invade it, it was like in the 1950s, it was like almost like a becoming a first world country. Since then, since the Soviet invasion, it's just been just tribal and devastated. And you can't deal with these tribes. And they Taliban makes deals with them. We make deals with them, but it's not a unified government. And it's just we literally would have to kill too many people.
Thank you, John. Thank you very much. I put John's call up there and his sentiments is exactly encapsulating why I think people are reluctant to do this. And I think the president, hopefully, now that they haven't lived up to this, will not bring them to Camp David. You know, I was thinking of Ronald Reagan and the grave of the Wehrmacht. Remember placing the wreath there and the whole thing at the cemetery? Thought it was a mistake. I think this would be, too. Secretary of State deals with them.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.